Oh, how good were those sliders? It is Friday, November 26th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Sticky Wings. We've just had the pulled beef sliders. And, Loz, you stood there and stared at him, told us all you're on some diet or something, and then caved in. Is like, honestly, you've never seen someone go to water quicker. Clarkie's at home today joining us, but Clarkie, we've had the sliders in here, and Loz, you know, just telling us, oh, no, I'm on a diet. Nah. 3 seconds later,
just succumb. Even if you're on a diet, what's wrong with those? They're healthy.
I don't know, mate, but I just...
They're healthy.
You know how I'm a routine man.
Yeah, I know.
I love my routine. I
change up every now and then, as you say.
I know, but the problem is, once I start, I want to keep going.
But
I've got to show discipline now.
Nah, you can go as hard as you want. It's only meat. You're fine. You're better off eating that than going eating the pie or the sausage roll.
Nah, well, I stay away from them.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that
either.
There's nothing wrong with them, but not at this time of the morning. I try and stay away from them.
Yeah, I reckon you're fine. Get the meat into you, get the iron, get the protein.
That's it.
You're doing cross-trainer today?
Selling it.
I definitely will be. I'm back doing a light training.
Everything in moderation. It's good for us.
Yeah, I know. But, mate, the problem is once you start, you can't stop. But I broke and I gave in to myself.
I'm happy for you. Good. So you should. When they're staring at you, they smell that good. I'm sure it's worth it. I'm sure they taste amazing.
Oh, it's amazing.
I'm actually sitting here jealous. I've gone the Sultana brand.
Yep.
I know what I'd prefer.
Actually,
dry old fibre I'm eating. Oats. You're smashing those.
Porridge.
Yeah, exactly right.
News this morning, the Bulldogs have signed Parramatta's Reid Marnie for 4 years from 2023. So Reid Marnie's rejected the 3-year extension at the Eels. Now, in cricket yesterday in the Sheffield Shield, the Queensland captain Usman Khawaja, he asked South Australia to follow on, and Travis Head for South Australia responded, scoring 101. In football, Manchester United, they're set to appoint 63-year-old German Ralf Rangnick as interim manager on a 6-month contract. He's currently working for Lokomotiv Moscow, and he's previously managed RB Leipzig and also Schalke in Germany. So we'll get Robbie Slater's response to that later this morning. And the very big news last night in racing is that Glenn Boss, one of the great showmen, has announced his retirement. He's got one ride tomorrow at Caulfield. It will be his last. It's in the Zipping Classic as well, and it's the heavy odds-on favourite. The Melbourne Cup place get a Spanish mission. And Loz, 90 Group 1s, 3 Melbourne Cups on the Great Maccabi Diva, 4 Cox plates, 7 Doncasters. I mean, you can go on and on and on. What a career.
Been a legend, hasn't he, Bossy? Longevity in the sport. He's overcome some difficulties as well. But again, when the big races rolled around, that's when he got himself in the right frame of mind, and that's where he wanted to perform. Like all the good jockeys, when the pressure was on, they wanted to be there. They wanted to be there on the big day, and they knew they could get the job done. And Bossy was as good as any of them. He was composed on a horse. He didn't panic and always had that strong belief that he could get the job done. And good luck to him in whatever he does. Life after being a jockey, he'll be a success at. And he's been a wonderful, wonderful jockey. He's been a great person and someone that has given a lot of people a lot of pleasure.
Certainly has. Also, this text, I hope all Aussies get behind Australia's best boxer, George Kambosos Jr. He's a proud Aussie Greek. Watch on website. Is it Dazn? D-A-Z-N? Going to be a tough fight for George. But if anyone can upset Lopez, it's Kambosos. No name for that one. But that's on Sunday in New York. We were speaking about it yesterday. Heavy outsider against the unbeaten Teofimo Lopez for that fight. By the way, back page at the telly today, Darcy Lussick has put his hand up to fight Paul Gallen. And I saw Darcy Lussick only a few weeks ago down around Manly. He's looking fit. I reckon fit and mean. I reckon that's someone that Gal would get a proper fight from.
Yeah, I don't know whether Darcy has spent too much time in the ring, though, has he?
We had that fight against Justin Hodges. Does that count?
Hodgia was very embarrassed.
Well, the training camps.
Yeah, well, it does, but Gal has spent the last 3 or 4 years having a number of fights, spending a lot of time in the gym. I still think Gal would have Darcy's number. Darcy's a lot younger, and I'm sure if, 2 or 3 years down the track, Darcy could turn into a really good boxer from what I saw in that one-off fight. But you've got to put the time and effort into it, don't you? You know, Gal's sort of taken it now and trains like a boxer, whereas Darcy's still a footy player slash boxer. Mm. So he'd have a lot to learn, whereas Gal sort of just got that mentality of a boxer. So I think Gal would still have his measure.
Fine, I'd love to watch though. I hope it happens now that obviously Josh Aloye won't be fighting Gal, at least in the short term, after he contracted COVID and he'll have to go back to footy training by the time he'd be able to fight. Now, joining us as we continue our look around Sydney Premier Cricket, and today from UTS North Sydney, he's battering first grade there. First drop, I'm pretty sure. Justin, and plays for the Sydney Sixers as well. Justin Avendano joining us. Justin, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys. No. How are we?
Yeah, very well. Great to have you on the show. Did I see you got a bit of an injury as well? You scored 29 last week at first drop there in that, what, four-wicket win against Blacktown?
Yeah, no, I've hurt my back yesterday at training, so it's brought me out, hopefully for not too long, but maybe only a week or two. So I've just had lower back troubles of late, and causing me grief once again, which is annoying.
Yeah, know the feeling, Justin. Get used to it, buddy. It doesn't go away. Mate, just a quick one on. I've spoken to a number of the club coaches, and I'm keen to get from a player's perspective. Obviously, I have no doubt your ambition and goals to play for the Blues in domestic cricket and Shield cricket. Obviously, you're already getting the crack in the BBL, in and around those squads. How hard is it, mate, to push for selection for a Shield game when, you know, this season you're playing all one-day cricket and T20 cricket?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's too different. I think what's happened to the Blues this year, you can see they're breeding a lot of young cricketers, and there's a lot of young, talented cricketers as well. So It is tough to crack that setup at the moment. But I think on previous experiences, if I was a 20-year-old kid, it might be hard. But they know who I am. I'm 28. If I hopefully keep scoring runs, I feel as though at any age you can sort of get picked for the Blues. And you've sort of seen that with Victoria, with James Seymour playing, opening the batting. You know, he's 28 years old, and he's come from all over the place. So I don't feel like age is a barrier at the moment, but New South Wales does have some extremely young, talented kids. So it is hard to crack at the moment.
You're in good form though, Justin. I mean, in round two, 171 against Gordon. Talk us through that.
Yeah, mate, it was just one of those days. They were my old club a few years ago, so I felt like I had to do something special against them. I haven't played them in years. And I mean, it is personally going pretty well for me. Obviously, this little back niggle's annoying now at this sort of time. But hopefully a few more runs for me. But most importantly, the team. I think this is one of the first years we've had in a long time where I think we've got a premiership winning team. So you get a small window every few years, and I reckon this might be our year.
Yeah. What about preparations for the BBL, mate? Again, you mentioned this back injury. Does this play a bit of a part in dampening that for you, or you feel like you've still got enough time to keep putting those runs on the board to take part in the Sydney Sixers campaign?
Yeah, no, unfortunately the last few years, I think I was contracted for a few years, and two out of the 4 years I've virtually been injured with this lower back trouble. So yeah. It's not looking good for me for the Sixers. I'm still obviously trying my very best to perform at that level, and I think I still got it in me. But if my body can control itself, and I'm still trying to push forward, but it does make it extremely hard. So if there is an injury through the tournament, I'm still going to be trying my best to sort of get in the system somehow. But yeah, you know, as I said, there are a lot of good young, talented batsmen going around at the moment, but it's hard to crack in.
Now, in the last couple of years, he's been, well, we saw him take four wickets there for New South Wales in that one-day game in the last, what was it, yesterday. Tanvir Sengar, have you faced much of him? And tell us, if so, what's he like to face and how much promise do you think he has?
Unfortunately, I have faced him a lot, and he's a lot better than any other spinner going around in Sydney grade cricket, or let alone Australia at this point. He's probably, a few years ago, he was 16. He played us in first grade and took 5-5. And I think everybody knew that day that this is a guy who spins the ball a lot as a young kid and just had full control of what he was doing. I can't sing praises enough high for him. I think he's got a really bright future, and I think it'll be a matter of time until he's playing for Australia. It's just a matter of when that is.
Is that his strength, Justin, the ability to... And Clarke, you always spoke about Warnie just putting it on a 20-cent piece. Is that his strength, or is it more about a number of different type of deliveries he has?
No, he's very stock standard. He's got a nice wronging on him, but he doesn't use it a whole lot because he's got one of the best leg spinners going around. And the biggest thing is he tries to turn it every single ball. I think you've got the two spinners side by side there for New South Wales in Zamps, who's quick, a lot of wrong-ins, a lot of in at your pads, and then you've got Tanvir, who just bowls the most beautiful leg spinner going around. So they work in partnership really, really well. And I can't wait to see Tanvir get more of a crack in Shield cricket. You get him on a dusty old SCG wicket. He's going to dominate. So I think I'd love to see him going on an India tour. And I think he already has been a part of squads going over. So I think it's just a matter of time until he gets pictures. He's unbelievable. He's a natural talent ever from a young kid. So his future's very, very bright.
Yeah, very exciting. Buddy, boys, you got Manly tomorrow. Any chance of this rain stopping?
I don't think so, but I'll tell you what.
Does that mean bender tonight and don't worry about the game tomorrow?
Well, I got the day off, so I think I'll be loading up. So I'll be going to the game right on game time. I won't be there early warming up the boys. So, but there's a big rivalry between our two clubs. We a few years ago, we had ex-first class player Adam Crosthwaite, who moved to Manly, was there for 10 years, and I snuck him over to the Bears for a few years. So there's been massive rivalry between our two clubs ever since.
Love it.
So it's going to be a great game, whatever happens. There's always plenty of, I'll call it sledging, but it's more of abuse. So
they're all same.
Yeah, they're all same. They're all entertaining games, I'll give you that.
I was going to, because obviously you got, being at North Sydney, you got a lot of rivals very close by. Who is that the biggest one then, Manly? Or does it sort of change year to year depending on those players who've moved between clubs, etc.?
Honestly, it really does. So for a long time, it was Gordon. Gordon versus North Sydney. But now it's just turned into this Manly rivalry, I think. And it starts pre-game. So I think over the last few years, I think we've had about 15 Manly players come to the Bears. So we really are hated between each club, and everyone's got stories about each club, and it starts midweek. Everyone starts alleging each other on social media. All good harm fun on the social media side of things, but when it's game time, it goes. Every ball's a contest, especially when they're 96-over matches. Unfortunately, it's one-day cricket this year, but when it's 96-overs in the field, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
All right, we've asked everyone from grade cricket in Sydney, what is their best and worst road trip?
Oh, the road trip. Well, for me, mate, I live on the Central Coast, so every week's a road trip for me. But Garner Sutherland's a nightmare. I seem to never score a run at Glen McGrath.
Yeah.
And old Campbelltown, geez, that's about 2-hour drive for me. But the wicket's not too bad out there, but Sutherland, I can't buy a run out there.
What's the oval, Clarkie, that keeps getting brought up?
Benson's Lane.
Have you played at Benson's Lane?
I've got good memories out there. To trek into the middle of nowhere. But
the desert. It's actually the Australian desert.
Yeah, it's flies everywhere.
Everyone says that. Everyone's commented on the flies.
They're like, picture like a king bee, and that's the size of the flies. They're that big.
Great stuff. Justin, really good to talk to you. Hope that back injury isn't too bad, and you're back on the park, not only for the Sixers, even higher honours, mate, and go well for North Sydney in particular.
Appreciate the call, lad. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, so in 2027, for the Rugby World Cup, we are the preferred candidate to host. And joining us now is the bid director, former Wallaby, of course, Phil Kearns. Kearnsy, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. Couldn't be better. A little weary, but pretty good.
So, preferred candidate, those two words to host in 2027. So, what happens next?
Well, what it means essentially is World Rugby isn't talking to anyone else. You know, previously we had some competition in there, but now that competition's gone, and now it's really the final negotiation stage with World Rugby and also with our federal and state governments here to put the whole puzzle together, and we're pretty close. The formal announcement of who actually gets it, and hopefully us, is in May of 2022. And so at the moment, the way I like to describe it is we're 20 points up with 5 minutes to go.
Well, we can't afford to drop the ball then, Kearnsy. Congratulations, mate. It's big news over here in Australia. And, of course, we all remember the last World Cup back in 2003, where it was just a sensational event. Unfortunately, we lost to England in that final. But will it be sort of similar? Will it be run similar to what it was back then in terms of venues and going around Australia playing it in different states?
Yeah, it will. I mean, there have been some changes in World Rugby to the grounds that they have mandated you can play the game at. So, for example, everyone has to have a seat. There are certain sizes mandated for the finals and semi-finals of the size of the stadium you can play in. And they've limited the amount of venues to between 8 to 10 venues around the country. So, you know, one of the great things about our bid is we're a safe pair of hands, and that's what we've said to World Rugby. We've got these great stadia from, you know, you go up to the Townsville Stadium that's brand new, across to Perth, which is only, you know, three or four years old over there and already held Bledisloe Cups. The Adelaide Oval's been revamped. We've got a brand new Sydney Football Stadium coming online soon. And, you know, we've just got magnificent stadium infrastructure to hold it. So we're a safe pair of hands. And as you know, Laurie, we know how to run big events here. We've had Olympics, we've had Comm Games, we've had Cricket World Cups, you know, we've had Rugby World Cups before. We do big events well.
Kernsy, at what stage do the Wallabies then start prepping for this as a team? I know it's a long way away, but I think every sporting organisation has a focus on a major event. You always got one eye on that. When do we, in regards to picking players looking forward, when do we see that process start? Or has it already started?
I think it's already started, Clarkey. I think, you know, there's some young juniors coming through now, and they're probably the 16, 17, 18 years of age at the moment. And so in 6 years' time, they're starting to get towards, you know, their peak around age 24, something like that. And you know, the great thing about these World Cups, as you well know, it gives kids a fantastic target to aim for, a great career point they can target. And they say, you know, I want to be part of this World Cup in this country. I want to be show off my skills in front of my family and my friends and the nation. And I think that's a really powerful message for kids. And it also enables them to see that I actually can be in a team that is the best, genuinely the best in the world. And I think that's a really great motivator for kids.
Gosh, I'm looking on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today, Kernsy, and it says MCG might get final. Surely it's got to be in Sydney. Surely.
Well, after we get the, hopefully get the announcement going our way in May, that's when we'll start to work with World Rugby. We actually don't have the final say on where that final is played. But, you know, we've got three terrific venues that in this country that can host the final in terms of the numbers of World Rugby mandate. So it's got to be in a stadium of greater than 60,000 people. We have Perth, which is in a good time zone for the Northern Hemisphere. We've got the MCG, which will hold 90 to 100,000 people. And then we've got Sydney, which is really the home of rugby and with a massive stadium out there, which has held big events before. So we've got three terrific stadia that can do it, but we're a little way off announcing where that's going to be.
I don't know whether you can tell us or not, Kernsy, but in terms of finances, what does this mean for Rugby Australia? And, you know, we all know that, you know, they made a lot of money after the last World Cup, and that's no longer there. But what will that mean to sort of the pathways program of rugby in this country and the ability to keep some of our best talent here in Australia playing rather than have them go overseas and play?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, for what it means for Australia is enormous. It's $2.5 billion will come into our local economy from the 2027 World Cup, and there'll be more because of the lead-in to the legacy events. There's a whole bunch of things that'll come into that. The World Cup in 2003, it's no secret, we made about $43 million for our code. And I know in rugby league and AFL terms, that may not be a lot of money, but it's a lot of money in our terms. We aim to make a lot more than that if we can. And that's one of the things that we're working with World Rugby over the next couple of months is to finalise that financial model to see what we can actually do out of it. And one of the targets this time around, which is a bit different and to be applauded, is the establishment of, let's call it a future fund for rugby, where we can use that money that we make to, you know, make it a long-term investment into the game rather than something that was pretty short-term back then.
What did you make of the Wallabies' progress this year, Kernsy?
I actually think there were some good signs. Unfortunately, the tour was marred by, well, two things, poor refereeing, but also some of our players not being available to play. And I've got, you know, no doubt that guys like Corabetti and Karevi in the centres would have made a big difference for us. But I think the other thing it showed is actually how strong the Northern Hemisphere is. In that last weekend of games over there, South Africa lost, New Zealand lost to France easily, Australia lost, Argentina lost. So the Northern Hemisphere is strong. They've got plenty of money up there. They've got good programs. But as you all know, you don't want to peak in between World Cups.
No.
Which is where we are now.
Yeah.
I love your thinking, Kearnsy.
In your mind at the moment, though, Kearnsy, from what you've seen this year of all those sides, who's sort of the favourite at this stage, 2 years out?
Oh, France. Absolutely no doubt. They've won the last three under-20 World Cups, and those players are coming through the system now, and they'll be primed by the time the World Cup comes around in 2023.
Well, mate, well done on getting us this far, and let's hope it's all rubber stamped next year. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, gentlemen. Great to chat. Anytime.
Hang on to that ball, Kearnsy.
I won't let it go, mate. You know.
Good on you.
Europa League this morning, and West Ham have beaten Rapid Vienna 2-0. Celtic have gone down away to Bayer Leverkusen 3-2. They've conceded two late goals in that game. Rangers are 1-0 up against Sparta Prague. By the way, that England tour game yesterday, England against the England Lions, was abandoned. So no warm-ups for the Poms heading into the first test there at the Gabba in less than 2 weeks' time. And we saw yesterday Queensland captain Usman Khawaja asked South Australia to follow on, and Travis Head responded, scoring 101. We're going to speak to Remy Simpson shortly ahead of the the Matildas. They're up against USA for a couple of games, 3 o'clock tomorrow there at Stadium Australia. The big news in the last 24 hours, certainly Glenn Boss retiring. His last race tomorrow in the Zipping Classic on Spanish Mission, 90-time Group 1 winner. And just this text before middle, I think a lot of people forget Bossy was in a neck brace and wheelchair for 12 months. Then he returned from that injury to win 3 consecutive Melbourne Cups. Good call. The man is racing royalty and an immortal of Australian sport. Also tip So You Think in the Cox Plates of the owner of the Golden Sheaf at $21. He had 10K on, never had to line up to get in the never had to line up in the queue to get in. All the best in retirement, Bossy. Great show, lads. No name to that one, but well said. That's it. He had had a lot of setbacks in his career as well, Bossy, as a lot of the top jocks do. They've all got a story to tell, but he'll be celebrated as he should be tomorrow.
Oh, he will be, Mitter. He's one of the great jockeys Australia has produced. 90 Group 1 winners in this country. Damien Oliver, George Moore, Roy Higgins, Jimmy Cassidy and Huey Bowman are the only other jockeys that have ridden more Australian Group 1 races than Bossy. We remember Bossy for so many wonderful rides, but to win 3 Melbourne Cups in a row on the wonderful mare Maccabi Diva, that'll be hard to beat into the future. But he gets a chance on the weekend to go out a winner when he rides Spanish Mission in the Zipping Classic. And let's hope he goes out in the right possible fashion, and that is with a win.
Now, the multi-loss today, courtesy of Sticky Wings. And you've gone a little double. What do you got for us?
Look, little double, Mitter. Here we go. We're going to Melbourne Race 1, number 6. Ebhar to win from the Peter and Paul Snowden camp. And then we're staying here in Sydney for race 5, number 8, Irish Angel. We want her to place. And if you think that Ebhar can win down there in Melbourne and Irish Angel up here in Sydney can place, thanks to our great mates at Sticky Wings, that multi is paying $10.
$10 on the Tab app and website under Sport and Today's Offers. You'll see a heap of Black Friday offers there as well. It's under Today's Offers. The Matildas, they got back-to-back games against the world champions, the USA, at Homebush Saturday afternoon and, of course, next Tuesday at Newcastle as well. And joining us is 22-year-old Sydney FC striker. She recently made her international debut against Brazil. Remy Simpson joining us. Morning, Remy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Great to have you on the show. And you got a taste of the action in the green and gold. How was it? And what did you learn about how much of a step up it is as well?
Yeah, it was an absolute dream come true for me. I've dreamt of playing with this team for a very long time. So as soon as I got a taste for it, I was left wanting more for sure. So I felt very honoured to be able to make my debut in Sydney. And the level is just second to none. It's the league and the level that everyone wants to be at, and I feel privileged that I got to make my debut and be in that competition.
Yeah, Remy, it's exciting when you first make your international debut and getting called up into squads like the Matildas, but did you have to find yourself sort of taking a step back and not being overawed by some of these girls that you've watched and idolised in the past?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's definitely a level of respect, and I've obviously looked up to the majority of these girls practically my whole life. So I was definitely in awe of them when I first came into camp, but they are just so amazing, both on and off the pitch, and just great people. They made me feel welcome straight away. And, you know, they're just like me and just like you, just another person. But yeah, they're very nice girls, and they help me both on and off the pitch. So I feel privileged to be able to play alongside them and learn off them both individually and as a group.
Yeah, well, you're playing alongside of arguably the best in the world in Sam Kerr. And tell us about playing with her. What did you notice, just maybe even something so small, that sets her apart?
She's just the ultimate professional, both on and off the pitch. And she makes such a great captain. She's a great leader, both on and off the pitch. And, yeah, I feel very honoured and privileged to be able to have played alongside her and learn off her. And we play pretty similar positions, and she's just a pleasure to watch but also learn off. So I can't speak any more highly of her.
And how has the camp been, considering the challenge coming up against, well, the back-to-back world champions as it stands, the USA?
Camp's been great. We're all really excited for the games coming up, and there's a really good vibe around the group. And I know that these games against the USA are going to be a tough one, but a very competitive one, and I know that we've got world-class players and they do too, so I think it'll be a very entertaining match, and I just encourage everyone to go get their tickets to come support us and watch us take on world-ranked number one USA.
With competitions for spots being so hotly contested, I'm sure there's a lot of intensity at training?
Definitely. Every time you step foot into an environment like this, you're going to be competing for spots, and that's what makes it so special in such a good environment when everyone's bringing something to the table and people are fighting for their position. So it just makes the group as strong as it can be. So I think it's just a good thing that everyone's so competitive and wanting to play.
You talk about bringing things to the table, Remy. What are your strengths as a player?
That's a hard answer to the question, a hard answer to Phil, but I like to think that I'm a hard worker, and I just like to try and play my natural game, which is to hold the ball up as best I can and try and link people into the game. So I guess I would probably go along the lines of that.
We're talking to Remy Simpson, of course, Sydney FC striker, but with the Matildas as well. And before those Brazil matches, Remy, you went and trained with a Danish club. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience to be able to experience an overseas club as well as be away from home and be with my other teammates of Kyrakuni Cross, Courtney Nevin and Jamila Rankin. We all got super close very quickly, but the team we trained with was Fortuna Horing, and we had a great time there, and they were super professional, and we feel that we really grew as people and as players. So we really thoroughly enjoyed that experience, and we thought that we could bring that experience back into the next camp, and I think that we did that.
Is that something you want to do more of in the future, Remy? Go over there and play in other leagues around the country?
Yeah,
Around the world, sorry.
Definitely, and definitely after having that taste of overseas football, I've played in the WPSL in America when I was younger overseas, and I loved that. And I've now experienced a European club with Fortuna Horing in that short period. And, yeah, it just makes me wanting to look more overseas and look at my options overseas, because I think I could definitely see myself taking that route.
No doubt we'll get a great gauge on where we're at against the USA. What are their strengths? What makes them, aside from obviously the results, but what makes them the number one team in the world?
Yeah, obviously they have quality players, and they've been ranked number one for a while now, so you can't look far past that. But they are just a very fast-paced, physical, strong team, and they've got some great technical players. But I think it'll be a very entertaining match. Like I said, we have some great caliber of players in our squad, and I think that it'll be a tight match these two matches, but I have full faith and confidence that we can get the job done.
Well, we're only a couple of years away from having a World Cup here in Australia. What would it mean to you to be part of the Matildas team?
It would be an absolute dream come true, playing in the biggest event in football right here on our doorstep and in New Zealand, and to be able to play in a World Cup in front of your friends and family. I don't think there's anything more special than that. So I'll be doing everything I can physically and mentally to be part of that squad, and I really hope that I can don the green and gold come 2023.
Is that the added sort of motivation for you, Remy, knowing that you're 2 years away and you've got to put your best foot forward in every session, you know, to show to the coach that you're deserving of an opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. I don't take any of these opportunities lightly. I take them with both hands, but I know that they don't come easily, and I just want to put my best foot forward every time I get given an opportunity to be in and around this environment. And that's definitely extra motivation, obviously, having the World Cup right here on our doorstep, but also the Asian Cup coming up and plenty of other big tournaments. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting few years, and I really hope that I can keep making the squad and just keep improving both on and off the pitch.
Well, when you're away from the Matilda squad, do you get much feedback off the manager?
Yeah, we do. We have great connections with our staff, and they're always constantly giving us feedback and wanting the best for us and wanting to help us improve. Obviously, we're not all in the same environment all year, so we have to be training extra hard to make sure we're ready when we're ready to come back into camp and bring our strengths and see what we can do together as a group. So we have a great staff who are really involved, and I definitely think that makes the world a difference.
Well, 3 p.m. kickoff, Homebush, great atmosphere it promises to be. And being a Northern Beaches girl as well, I'm guessing you probably have plenty of family and friends coming to the game?
I sure do. I think practically half the Northern Beaches will be there cheering us on. So, yeah, I'm very excited. And I know that a lot of the girls who haven't seen their families in a while are very excited as well. So we can't wait to see everyone there, and hopefully we can get 3 points.
Yeah, so we urge everyone to get their tickets for the Matildas USA. And Remy, let's hope we see you getting plenty of minutes in that gold jumper. Well, for a lot of time going forward. And thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, I've got Dean Lester's mail for Caulfield tomorrow. So get the pen out, the notes on the phone. Here it is. His best bets. Race 6, number 6, Cardinal Gem. 6-6 Cardinal Gem, which is a $5 chance with Tab. His other best bet, race 9, number 7, I Am Superman, $3.60. And his roughie is in race 3, number 6, Lavish Girl. And that's $11 the win and $3 the place. Dean Lester's best bets for Caulfield tomorrow. And joining us is Brad Davidson. Dave, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, very well, mate. And the news last night, the great Glenn Boss retiring tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly right. Came on pretty quick, didn't it, guys? And I know, obviously, Bossy said he's been thinking about it for a while, but I think he surprised a lot of people with that news last night. But he'll look to end that career with a fairy tale win there aboard Spanish Mission in the Zipping Classic at Caulfield tomorrow. So, I mean, tremendous career, guys. 90 Group 1s, so it was a 4 Cox Plate, 3 Melbourne Cups. And, you know, we know he's been renowned, hasn't he, for his performances in Group 1 races. He just seems to be able to find another level on the big days. And, you know, right throughout his career, he's been linked with so many great horses. And one thing that's worked so well for him over so many years is being able to ride so light. So he's been able to get on those young three-year-olds and horses like that in those handicap races at light weights and get on those right rides and obviously been able to get them home. So tremendous effort, 90 Group 1s, what a career it's been. And yeah, it'd be amazing if he was able to go out on a high there tomorrow at Caulfield. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, fingers crossed for a fairy tale finish. But obviously, you just said that he just didn't feel fully invested anymore, and he promised himself once he got to that point that he would pull the pin. And I think that's a great thing, because I think a lot of people go on for a long time, and that's fine too, because you know, if you enjoy it, then keep on going. But at the same time, if you're happy to sort of pull up stumps when you don't feel you're 100% invested, I think that's fair enough too. And we wish Boshy all the best. What's next for him? I think he'd be destined for a bit of a media career, guys. You would think, you know, he's always somebody who's had an opinion, and we need more of that in the racing game. So we'll see what happens next. But yeah, well, good luck to him tomorrow there on his last day.
Did he have one particular strength as a jockey that stood out, Davo? And is there a ride or a moment that stands out to you?
Oh, look, I mean, you know, his Melbourne Cup successes, I mean, with on Maccabi Diva, that's got to go down for me as definitely his sort of, you know, main or biggest shining moment. But there's been so many over a number of times. Like I said, I think it's his ability to be able to get down to those weights. He had such an advantage over so many riders in that respect, in that, you know, he was able to position himself to get all those rises. It's just his ability to rise to that next level on grand final days, on group ones, you know, that echoing group one Glenn Boss, and that was the key. He was able to get the job done on the big days and link up with those, you know, mighty horses. And yeah, I mean, I can't go past his partnership with the great mare. And yeah, I mean, you know, to win four Cox Plates as well, I mean, that's amazing. And yeah, he's just a tremendous rider over so many years.
Dave, where are we at with Canterbury tonight, buddy?
Yeah, Clarkie, look, it's a heavy 10 at the moment. A track inspection to take place at 11 a.m. So, I mean, I had a look at the forecast today and the breakdown of hour-by-hour forecast is basically saying 100% chance of rain every hour until about 9 p.m. tonight. So I'm thinking we're in a bit of trouble for Canterbury tonight. You know, a lot of times we do say that and they somehow find a way and meetings stay on. But, yeah, you have to think we're in a bit of strife, I think, tonight. So, you know, fingers crossed for the club and that it does go ahead. But, yeah, the forecast looks very nasty for today.
Now, Crone's out of retirement.
Yes. So we'll get to see the great mare again. She's obviously done some tremendous things in Sydney. We saw earlier this year. She loves a wet track as well. So good to see her back, and we'll get to see her racing on it a bit longer as well. So she's been a very good mare up in Queensland, but able to come down to Sydney and get the job done too. So it'd be good to see her, and a terrific turn of foot, and she'll be. Should be one that punters will be looking at for some time yet.
What's your best tomorrow, and have you got anything at value?
Yeah, look, it's a festival stakes to feature there tomorrow. I've gone with race 3, number 4, Rebel Rama, as the best there tomorrow. I'm just waiting to see how wet it's going to be. Are we going to be on a heavy 8, heavy 9, or is it going to be absolutely bottomless heavy 10? If it's not a bottomless heavy 10, I think Order Again will run a huge race in the festival stakes. He's always got a really good fresh record. He just doesn't want an absolute bottomless track, but he finds James McDonald, and he's a horse that, as I said, he puts in a really good run fresh. He developed a bit of consistency last time in as well. So that's race 8, number 3, Order Again, around $10. But I've gone the safe way at the moment with Rebel Rama as the best. It's one that's going to get through the conditions where the main danger in that race, Jazzland at $4.80, well, it's one who doesn't want it wet. And I'm predicting a proper heavy track there tomorrow, considering how much rain we've got today, and that's probably going to continue there tomorrow morning as well. So race 3, number 4, the best. But look, we'll put a full preview up on the Sky Racing website tomorrow at around 11:30 a.m. for anyone interested, because there will probably be plenty of scratchings in the morning, and also we'll get a better idea of what the track is and just how wet we're dealing with tomorrow.
Yeah, Rebel Rama, so $3.70 in favourite in that race with Tab, and we had Josh ring earlier giving that a good push as well. And just for the sake of Loz's multi, in race 5, Irish Angel to run a place, Davo, give it strength.
Yeah, I think it's the clear danger to Bacchanalia, who does look very hard to beat. Obviously, Bacchanalia is in at Canterbury tonight as well, but you would think with that meeting in doubt, it'll go around tomorrow. So I thought it was a clear danger though, Loz. So I definitely think it's going to run on into a place there. She's got some great fresh record, fresh form, and she's got some good wet form as well. So nice turn of foot. Expect her to just settle back in the midfield or a little bit worse, but she'll be attacking the line. And I've got a second pick, so I think she'll run a drum for you.
Good on you, mate. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.